When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, Duke fans. Are you sick of us yet?
You shouldn't be. Like,
it feels
keep
like
asking for this.
Every single day. It is episode 624 of the Duke Basketball Roundup. I'm Jason Evans. Joining me is Donald Wine. Donald, we didn't plan on doing this today, but another one. The Blue Devils have landed another transfer portal edition.
Hey, we told people that there's going to be some good news, there's going to be some bad news, and it's kind of little waves. We're in a good wave now. So now we can ride this good wave as long as we possibly can.
Amen. Exactly. The good news is, and by the way, wait, I should mention to folks, just so you know what's coming down the pipe, a little later in this episode, we're going to be talking to Jeff Fedotin of Forbes.com, Forbes magazine, who was at the Jordan Brand Classic on Sunday. He watched five of the Duke 2020 class of 2024 recruits, Cooper Flagg, Con Knipl, Darren Harris, Patrick Ngongba, and Isaiah Evans. They were all in the game. Jeff got an up close look at them, not just in attendance, but at practice. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later in this podcast about what to expect from future Blue Devils. But speaking of future Blue Devils, we have gotten a commitment in just the past few minutes from Mason Gillis out of Purdue. Mason Gillis played at Purdue for 4 years. He is a dynamic shooter from the perimeter, shot almost 47% from three, not on low volume, took like 120-something threes or something like that on the season. And if you look at his career, this is a guy who has been, he's better than 40% over his career. This is not an abnormality. I mean, yeah, 47% is kind of crazy, but there's every reason to expect that Mason Gillis will continue to be a dynamite three-point shooter at Duke. But Donald, the reason Mason Gillis is a valuable recruit, still a recruit, even though coming from the portal. The reason Mason Gillis is useful to the Blue Devils is not because of the three-point shooting. That's like a bonus add-on. This my man is glue. He is the ultimate glue guy. Jeff Goodman names an all-glue team. And for the past 2 years, Mason Gillis has been on it both years. We don't need to talk a lot about him, because I mentioned him on the last episode, and I mentioned to me the best way to describe what Mason Gillis brings to your team is he averaged 6.5 points per game and he won Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's all you need to know. He's the guy who gets everything done without putting a lot of points on the board, without demanding the ball in his hands. Is there a loose ball on the floor? Mason Gillis is going to be the first guy down there to get it. Is there a charge that needs to be taken? Mason Gillis is going to take the charge. Does an extra pass need to be made? Mason Gillis is going to make the extra pass. Is there a vicious, bone-crunching screen that needs to be set? Mason Gillis is going to set that screen. There was a great line I found from just a couple of weeks ago, and I'll let you get in. I'm sorry, I'm doing all the talking. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about this guy. Like, literally, the moment this guy entered the portal, I was like, dear Lord, can we please get Mason Gillis? So earlier this season, in early March, someone said to Matt Painter, describe Mason Gillis, and Matt Painter said, Mason Gillis would rather fight someone than talk to them. My man is tough. And so a reporter went up to Mason Gillis and said, Mason, is that really true? You'd rather fight someone than talk to them? Mason Gillis looked at the guy and went, absolutely. Welcome to Durham. By the way, Mason Gillis will be 24 before the season starts. He is a grown man. Donald, your turn. Talk to me about how excited you are about adding this guy to the Duke roster.
This is great because, as you mentioned, as we mentioned also when Malik Brown committed the other day, this is a guy that fits a piece, right? There's a lot of puzzle pieces that we still need to put together as part of this 2024-25 squad. And he is a major piece of this now. And I like the fact that he's a glue guy. I like the fact that he is not going to affect our average height. Because our average height right now, he's the second shortest guy on the team at 6'6". Our guards that he's probably going to back up are 6'5". No one else is shorter than that. So we have a lot of height. We had a lot of length. I like the fact that he's a dog. We need some dogs on this team. And we'll talk about the five incoming freshmen later. There's going to be a lot of dogs on this team next year. And I think it's key that this was an offseason thing that they wanted to make sure that whoever stayed, remained, came, left, that they had some dog in them, because people are going to be coming at us next year and we are going to be ready for this task, at least on paper. Now, Jason, I think the one thing that I really enjoy about this, you mentioned the fact that he's an elder statesman. I mentioned the other day that he has the experience playing with a generational talent or a talent that's really, really good. Obviously he played with Zach Edey, who's the back-to-back national player of the year. He brings that experience. He brings Final Four experience. He brings title experience, or at least national final experience. We have a lot of that coming in. And one thing that we were lacking with all these guys that were departing was experience. So he brings that to the table. I also like the fact, Jason, that in John Shire's introductory meeting, when he goes around, he goes, hey, everybody, who wants to, remember in grade school, you're like, hey, who wants to be a fireman? Who wants to be a policeman? Who wants to be an astronaut? He's going to say, who wants to play point guard? Who can play shooting guard? Who can play small forward? Who can be a four or a five? And everybody on the team can raise their hand to every single question, because all these guys, it feels like, will be able to switch between positions. That means on defense, you're going to have a lot of guys that we can pick up whoever's on the floor. There won't be a singular person who has a one-dimensional aspect to their game on defense. They'll be able to switch picks. They'll be able to guard whoever they need to, and we can draw assignments based on, who we're playing. So that opens up a world of possibilities on defense for John Shire and the coaching staff, because he won't have to worry about, hey, if this guy's in the game, we have to put him on this person because he can only guard this person. Everybody's tall enough. Everybody has enough length, enough strength, and enough testicular fortitude, if you want to call it, to go after guys on defense. And it's clear that defense is going to be the emphasis this season to ride everything else, right? And I think Duke is one of those teams, right? Every good team that we've had, our defense really sets off our offense. And this year we're going to get back to at least that Duke fundamental that we're known to seeing.
Yeah. And Mason Gillis is going to be able to teach all these other guys what it takes to be tough. Duke is going to be a very young team. Duke is going to be a somewhat inexperienced team. If not in who the starters are, certainly in the guys who are going to be playing key roles off the bench, key supporting roles. And Mason Gillis is someone who can explain to everybody exactly what it takes to be a winner and the effort that it takes to succeed at college basketball. And do not discount the fact that he played for Purdue, a team that earned a number one seed in each of the past years, the team that was pretty clearly the second best team in the land this past season. Mason Gillis is a winner. He is someone who knows what it takes to get W's and not L's. And he is going to transmit all that knowledge to this Duke team. He's such an ideal addition. I couldn't be more thrilled with this.
Yeah, this, again, I think the most important part of next year's team is that everybody is going to have a role. And that role may change throughout the season, right? And it did this year. We had guys who had their roles in whether it be injury, whether it be someone emerging through the ranks. Again, like, you know, for example, Jared McCain wasn't going to be the second or third option on this team entering the season. He became that, right? He became a guy who entered and said, I'm going to, you know, through his work ethic and through performance, we got to a point where he was a guy we could not have in a lineup, and he started every game for us. The year before that, Kyle Filipowski and Mark Mitchell were two guys who were like, okay, these guys are going to be options, but we got some focal points and they're not it. And they started every single game except for the one for Mark Mitchell. Kyle Filipowski became the best player on the team, right? Those are things that you can grow into. But for the most part, the idea is everyone needs to understand what their role is going to be and to execute it well. But also, just like in football, Jason, wide receivers, right? Wide receivers, there's three or four on the field at all times. But you know what each wide receiver knows? The routes of the other guys. Because if they need to switch out to another part of the field, they know where they still need to go. And they could just pick up each other's roles and everybody executes. Execution is going to be a key. Obviously, we're going to need to have that toughness. We're going to have that dog in us. And we're going to need to have a little bit of luck, you know, injury-free, all those things. But knowing your role is the most essential part of being an elite team, because if everybody understands the role, then they know how to execute it. And on paper, we have the guys that can execute anything they do, and we can be one of the best teams on the planet.
Yeah, and I think that we are getting very, very close to knowing exactly what the 24-25 Blue Devils will look like. I'm of the belief that the team that John Shire and the brain trust around him are in pursuit of one more player out of the portal. I think, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. I've heard some, we're not going to get into the rumors. We're not going to get into the conversation here. Although I've heard some very tantalizing, some very, very interesting rumors about who could potentially be involved with Duke, but it's almost certainly going to be someone who is a guard, someone who, you know, presumably would be a major backup to Tyrese Proctor and to Caleb Foster, and someone who is a dynamic shooter. John Shire continues to prioritize the ability to get guys on the floor who you won't be able to collapse on Duke, you know, when Duke guys are penetrating and driving. You won't be able to collapse on Cooper Flagg when he's taking the ball around the lane as he does so effectively, because we're going to surround those guys with nothing but dynamic outside shooters. And I think, you know, Donald, I think it's going to slow down maybe a little bit for us now in terms of you and me doing these podcasts every other day. But I think
people don't mind when we have the good news. It's the bad news they want us to do that later.
Exactly. Right. But I my bet would be that it may be a few days or so until we come back, and that will probably be it. You know, other than if Duke decides to perhaps add someone who's strictly a practice player.
I will say, Jason, I think you're right that guard might be the last, you know, major piece that we're going after in the transfer portal. I do think we'll fill out a roster maybe by grabbing like we mentioned before, like a Neil Begovich or Max Johns type of player to kind of round out the scholarship. Or like I said, one of the guys remaining is Stanley Borden. Maybe he gets that as kind of a loyalty to service since he'll be a senior. And I would have no problem with that, because he's put in work with the team and would love to see that happen in some way, shape, or form. But I do think not only will this guard be one that we think can shoot, we also think it's probably somebody who could drive the lane and take it to the hole if need be, but also be a guy who can stand in, right? Just like the, you know, vice president needs to be ready to be president if they need to. This guard that's coming in is not going to come in expecting just to get their 10 or 15 minutes. They're going to be ready to start should we need it. Of course, this past season, two of the guys that we had, you know, had injuries that kept them out for significant stretches were Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster. And that's not to say that they are going to be injured next year, but you have to prepare for the fact that if somebody on this team goes down, then we have somebody in the wings who is ready to be the next man up and step up and be, again, assume the role of being a starter and the responsibilities that come with that. So I think with that, the experience of somebody in the portal is going to make sure that someone's ready to do that. But I think, if one of these guards that are in the portal, if it materializes that we get a guard that has that, you know, that moxie, then it would be the great, great final piece to this puzzle.
Yep. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we mentioned this earlier, the Jordan Brand Classic happened. We got to see our first look at some of these Dukies playing in all-star games, some of these future Dukies. We will have a breakdown of everything that happened there with a special guest coming up next on the Duke Basketball Roundup.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, folks. We're back from the commercial break. And like we promised before we went to break, we're going to be talking about the Jordan Brand Classic, the 2024 event that featured five incoming Dukies. And joining us, a friend of the podcast, Jeff Fedotin. He writes for Forbes.com. And by the way, head over there right now and you can read Jeff's article about the Jordan Brand Classic. Welcome to the podcast again, Jeff. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Guys, so pumped to be on the show. I'm a big fan of yours, so this is real exciting.
Oh, come on. Stop it. Stop it.
And for those out there, we've had Jeff on before in a similar capacity. I think it was about a year ago when we
It was for the Chicago visit.
For the Chicago visit. So it's good to have you back on. And again, we're kind of, it's funny, this time at least you got to see some basketball. Last time it felt like you went there and there was no basketball to be had because that Chicago event was canceled. But at least you were able to see some basketball this time.
Got to see, it was a really fun contest and got to see the practices too. And hey, the Barclays Center has been very good to Duke. You know, they just won their first two games in the tournament. There was that memorable 2017 ACC championship run. That was, I think, the four games in 4 days. I noticed there's I think it's because there's a jersey of Lee Melchione's uncle in the rafters, so I think that's giving Duke good vibes.
I love it.
I like that callback. Hey, Jeff, if we can, how about we do it this way? I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and mention each of the five Dukies who played in this game, and I want you to give us your impressions of each one of them, and then I'll let Donald hop in and ask you general questions, you know, general impressions from being at the Jordan Brand. But I want to start, and I want to go sort of in reverse recruiting order, so to speak, because I think the guys further down are the guys we know the least about. I mean, I'm guessing you're going to tell us Cooper Flagg looked incredible. We've been talking about that for a while now. So let me start with Darren Harris. This was his first All-Star Game appearance, even though we got to see him, in the high school basketball national championships playing for PBI. He goes 1-for-3 in this game, plays, you know, a little more than 11 minutes. The one shot he hit was a three-pointer. I was impressed, by the way. He had 4 assists on the game, probably had the top assist rate of anybody in the game, including one beautiful three-quarter court pass to Cooper Flagg, which was really, really nice. And I thought it was significant that Darren Harris was one of the starters for his side, for Team Air. There was Team Flight and Team Air. And he was a start. Now, he didn't play a ton of, 11 minutes was, there were a lot of guys in the mid-teens or so. And then just a couple guys above 20 minutes. So it wasn't like Darren Harris was on the floor all the time. But the fact that he was a starter was significant to me. What were your impressions of Darren Harris?
Yeah, and actually, the three he did hit was a real deep three, too. So that was an impressive. Yeah. Listen, all the Duke guys, this is an incredible class. But to be honest, he was probably, especially in the practices of the Duke guys, probably the guy who was the most disappointing. And I want to qualify it again, that we're talking about a bar of an excellent recruiting class. But, he had a little bit, he was a little bit sloppy in the sense that I thought he needed to work on his handle. He dropped like several of the passes that I saw. We know he's got a good stroke. But so I thought of the guys, just being honest, he was kind of the one that, probably had things to improve on. So.
Okay. Let's get to Patrick Ngongba, who played about 13 minutes for Team Flight, 3 of 6 from the field, 5 rebounds, ends up with 7 points in this game because he hit a free throw, which came after he got fouled by Cooper Flagg. And they were laughing about, they thought it was hysterical that, they were getting mixed up there together. Give me a little bit of what you thought of Patrick Ngongba. By the way, dude has a big old butt on him, doesn't he? That as a large as a large player.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Patrick, and that was actually, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Jason. That was kind of one of my plays of the game, if you will. It was hilarious that, so this is how the second half started. So the first score for Team Flight was an Evans assist, not Jason Evans, but to Patrick Ngongba, and then Patrick drew the foul on Flagg and got the add one. So you're so much Duke. Like, I feel in this game, everybody was either playing for Duke or has played for Montverde in the case of Flagg, both. But Ngongba looked really good. We went to those back-to-back plays. So he scored 7 points in the first 3:10 of the second half. So
yeah, it was like a flurry. Yeah.
Yeah, so it showed he could score in bunches. The other interesting thing during the actual game is that there was a period he was paired with Derek Queen, who I really like a lot. He's really impressed me. Maybe the best, like, true big in the class. Cooper Flagg's is a more versatile guy, but a guy who's headed to Maryland, who actually was Flagg's teammate.
Queen looked great at the McDonald's game and at the Nike Summit. Queen has looked great. Maryland's getting a really good player there.
They really are. So it's kind of interesting that even just for a little bit that they paired them together, so that's potentially something Duke could use with, again, I'm going to butcher his name, but the really exciting big man they have.
Common Malawach.
Malawach. Yeah. I doubt that's something in today's game they would want to do regularly or extensively, but maybe an option. But I was really impressed with him. He had in the practices too, we mentioned Queen, he was going against him a lot and he held his own. He had a block of VJ Edgecombe, who I really like. And he had like two in like the 20 plus minute practice segments, he had 2 blocks. So I think he's a guy. I didn't see any issues with his foot. He was moving around pretty well. He does need to get, you mentioned that big old butt of his. I think he does need to get in a little bit better shape. He didn't look gassed or anything. It's just his body didn't look quite as lean as some of the other guys. But, you know, he's had a foot injury for so long that I'm sure that's just a product of that.
Yeah. So next one I want to talk about is Con Knipple. Sorry. You actually, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but you actually asked him to pronounce his name. And yes, it is Con Knipple. He was another guy. Didn't play heavy minutes, but was super effective in the time he was on the floor. 4 of 6, ends up scoring 8 points, grabbed 5 rebounds, which is really nice. And looked to me like he could really put the ball on the floor and get to his spots. Just looked under control. I was impressed with Con.
As a Duke fan, he was the guy I was most curious to see, because I feel he's a little bit the underrated, the guy who's fallen, beneath the radar a little bit, because we saw both Ngogba and Harris look so good in the Chipotle Nationals, and they're from such a powerhouse high school that I'm sure, you know, yeah, not far from Donald, I'm sure he knows all about that. But this was Khan's kind of first All-Star appearance, and I really liked what he saw. That he's got like a good frame, like a strong body. He's got a really nice stroke. And just the other thing too, as far as the actual physical skills, and the game, as you guys saw, there were several instances where he got like a turnover and took it coast to coast, you know, would make a dunk, would make a fast break score. So he's the guy, you know, I think the label was that he's not athletic. You know, he's not Zion Williamson, but, you know, he's more athletic than a guy that I still like, and a guy like TJ Power. Like, he's more athletic than that. And then the other thing about Khan was just, this guy seems like such a good kid. The Duke community is going to love him. No one was more engaged at, there was like a community function, like how for the McDonald's game, all the kids go to the Ronald McDonald House. Well, the Jordan Brand Classic is a similar thing where they go to a charter school, and no one was more engaged with kids and doing like cool handshakes with them. And it just shows how, in fact, I have a cute, like, Cooper Flagg story that after I did a joint interview with him. And after that, Con came up and shook my hand, very polite. And Cooper started to walk away, and he's like, "Oh, my bad." And Cooper Flagg came back to shake my hand. I'm like, "Cooper, you don't need to do that. I mean, you're like the generational talent. You don't, you know, I would not at all be offended." But that shows the kind of guy he hit, classy kids that are coming to Duke as far as this class. And the last thing I wanted to note about Con, when I interviewed him, is he had a little bit, he had stitches above his right eye. I mean, I think that kind of shows the type of dude. This is like a tough dude, like a little bit of a bulldog mentality.
I like it. All right. We're going to be getting to some of that interview sound you have in just a moment. Before we do, we're wrapping it up here on each of the players. I got to talk about Isaiah Evans. He is a guy who struggled a little bit in some of the other All-Star games, looked considerably better in this game, shoots 5 of 11, only 2 of 6 from 3, but like you just saw like a ridiculous shot-making ability from Isaiah Evans in this contest, didn't you?
Totally, and there was at least one that was like a really good-looking deep shot that went in and out. He looked impressive. He looked engaged. He was very active. There were a lot of times where he was guarding Con Knipple. There was some times where he and Cooper Flagg were kind of going at it. And yeah, he looked impressive. And the other cool thing is this is the comp that everybody has made. But watching the practices, I heard some of the agents say, like, "God, that guy looks like Brandon Ingram." Like, we've all made that comp, but just seeing them in person, it is so striking. Their build, their length, their game. He even has kind of like an arm sleeve tattoo, which, you know, they're pretty young kids. Some of them don't quite have the tattoos yet. They'll get them. But so just everything about him. It was interesting to hear, you know, some more professional people kind of echoing what we've all thought with that kind of comp.
I like it. All right. Is this Cooper Flagg guy going to be any good? 19 points, 10 rebounds, three assists, three block shots. What do you think about Cooper?
So, I mean, what else is there to say? A couple cool notes about him. First of all, his squad was actually, I don't know if this was, sounds like you guys watched it streaming, but I don't know if this, you could tell this. Kevin Boyle, the Montverde coach, was actually his coach on the team, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And there were so many Montverde guys in this game. And another thing that might not have, there were two moments that I thought really showed Cooper Flagg's greatness. One was in the first half that he was stripped by Merez Johnson, and the next you could tell he was pissed. The next position or two, he came back, like, drilled a long contested three. We don't love the long contested two, excuse me, but just showed that he was like, all right, I'm gonna get right back at you. But the most impressive sequence, I don't know if this showed up on the streaming, but they had a really weird deal with the Jordan Brand Classic that they had two almost like, you know, public address announcers on the court with like microphones as the action was on. Did that show up on the telecast?
It did.
Well, you couldn't hear them, but like you could see. I mean, look, I you know, watched Dan 1 in my youth. So like, like the Duke Tangos were, you know, on the court. But it was funny because it was like an actual basketball game where there was times where it looked like, yo, my man is about to get trucked by somebody because they didn't realize he was on the court. But yeah, it showed you could see him on the floor. You could kind of hear in the background that he was obviously speaking to the crowd.
I guess Donald, they were going with that and one feel. So I marked this down at the 10:52 mark in the second half. This is really noteworthy. One of those public address announcers was kind of ragging on Flagg. And he's like, this is New York. You got to bring it. And I don't know if, you know, Flagg, obviously you could hear it, but, you know, I don't know if he's really listening or so tuned into the game. He kind of blocks everything out. But then he responded with a long turnaround jumper. Then he got a steal on a Dylan Harper pass. Then he got the assist to Darian Reed. And the very next play, he blocked a layup by his teammate, his high school teammate, Derek Queen. I mean, that's Cooper Flagg in a nutshell, that he seemingly got kind of pissed and motivated and made all those kinds of plays, not necessarily just the scoring, but all the defensive plays, all the hustle plays. And the other thing, during the practice, it was so evident. I mean, you could go on and on about his greatness, but just how good the other things that I noticed, when he's such a good lob threat, that's going to be fun to have back in the Duke
school. Yeah.
And then the other thing is that he was really, really talkative, so chatty, so good at communicating on the defensive end. You think about how much of an emphasis, especially during the Coach K era, that was like his thing, as you guys all know. And the fact that he's doing that is a guy who's not even in college yet. I mean, so impressive.
Hey, Jeff, my last question before I let Donald get in. So everyone's used this word generational when it comes to talking about Cooper Flagg, and that he is unlike, you know, anybody we've seen at the high school level in quite some time. Do you buy into that, or is that too much hype?
Great question, Jason. I do buy into it. Like, he does look special, and he's so unique. Duke has been so fortunate to have some of these special guys, and I think he's unlike any of the special guys Duke has had. That he's like, he's Andre Kirilenko with like a better offensive game, which is kind of the comp I use. And I don't think,
I mean, that's kind of amazing. Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing. Kirilenko is an all-star player. And I'm obviously not the first. Somebody else, I think, made that. I certainly didn't come up
I've
with
heard
that
on him many times. Yeah.
Totally. But as far as generational, he definitely seems like, the thing I'll say, he has all these skills. The thing that makes me so excited about him is he just, the intangibles. He seems uber competitive. He seems like an uber hard worker. I mentioned that story, how it comes back to shake my hand, and, you know, who up to, which was so cool. He's talkative on defense. So you factor in all those great intangibles to the skills we've already talked about. And yeah, I think it could be generational.
Hey, Jeff, before we get to the audio that you had with Con Knuppel and Cooper Flagg, I want to shift for 1 minute to the women's game. As you know, there was a women's game before the men's game happened, and we had one recruit, Toby Fournier, that was in there. She's out of Canada. I know you didn't get to see all of the game, but from what you have seen, give us 30 seconds on Toby Fournier and what she could bring to the women's team and Kara Lawson.
Yeah, and I wish I had done a better job of covering that part. I was just in late. I was kind of working on my story that was due Monday morning, but I do know that every time I looked up, it did seem like she was scoring. And uh-huh. It was a really impressive women's class with I think that bodes well for her. So sorry, I'm not giving the best scouting report, but everything I heard from that weekend made it sound like she's going to be a real star for Kara Lawson.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to point that out because I know we talk a lot about the men on this show, but we also support Kara Lawson and her endeavors and everything. So let's get to the audio that you had. You had, as you mentioned, you had a double interview, a joint interview with Con Knuppel and Cooper Flagg. Got to ask them a few questions, and it was I thought it was a very engaging interview. So first of all, here's the interview, and then we'll have you comment on it. So here it is.
I'll start with you, Con. And Con, first question for you, actually. How do you pronounce your last name?
Knuppel, like the body part.
Well, I'm sure you get that question a lot, right? The Jordan Brand game, does it have an extra kind of cachet coolness because it's the Jordan Brand?
Yes. I'm a big MJ guy. I know some of these guys here are LeBron guys, but being the Jordan Brand, it means a little something extra.
What's the coolest, swag that you've gotten here?
Man, we got some fours, some Duke color fours, blue and white, so those are pretty nice.
And what are the things? I'm sure you get shirts and all the other gear, backpacks, clearly.
Yeah, we got a ton of stuff. We got, what, 3-4 pairs of shoes?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The Jordan personalized letter, that looks like something that was very cool. Can you talk about receiving, that autographed letter, the invite to the game?
Yeah, so I wasn't even home. My dad opened it. He videoed it for me, so that was pretty cool to see you, but I wasn't there firsthand, but... Once I got home and saw the letter, I mean, it's pretty surreal.
Where are you going to save that someplace?
Yeah, we got it locked up. The baby book.
In the baby book. Cooper, does this game have an extra kind of cachet because it is the Jordan Brand classic?
Yeah, I think it kind of has a different culture. I feel like each All-Star game you go to has its own separate sort of swag, its own separate sort of culture that you get to be brought into for the short time that you're there. So it's cool to kind of feel out the different type of swag and culture that every different All-Star game brings.
What do you think is this unique culture? How would you describe that?
I would just say the culture of it being MJ, being a huge MJ fan myself, thinking he's the GOAT. Obviously, he is the GOAT. So, just looking up to him and kind of feeling that drop down and being able to represent everything that he stands for and his brand.
What, that personalized letter, was that pretty surreal for you too?
Yeah, it was pretty cool when I was able to open it and see it. It's someone you grow up watching and stuff like that. So just get that letter, it just means a lot.
Do you have a place? It sounds like it's going to go in Con's baby book. Do you have a place that you're going to save that?
Not a specific place, but my parents will probably keep it. We keep most stuff locked away in a drawer somewhere and just keep it up.
A couple basketball questions for you guys. Cooper, I noticed how talkative you were on the floor there, especially on defense. Is that a big part of your game? Is that really an emphasis?
Yeah, I'm trying to improve on that side of it because I think a lot of players have the talent, have the skill, but they don't want to talk, and that's something that can separate you. So I'm just trying to work on every little thing that can separate me from other people.
What's the number one skill, quality, anything that you're going to bring to Duke next year?
I think just versatility and toughness and competing and that competitive nature. I just want to win every single time I step on the court, so I'm definitely bringing that with me.
Con, what did Coach Shire say your role is going to be? What does he kind of envision you for you at Duke?
Similar to Cooper in the competitive side. We want to be a competitive team. We want to bring it every day. In practice, in the workouts, in the summer, and especially in the games. So just bringing that fire to the game.
Did he describe what your role is? Does he see you as a shooter, a defender, a Swiss Army knife? What's your role?
You got to shoot, you got to defend, you got to put the ball on the floor. Wants me to do a little bit of role.
Yeah, Coach just wants us to be ourselves. That's all it is. Just go in there, play our games.
What are you guys most excited about for this weekend? Was it meeting the guys? Was it part of this culture to be experienced? Or what's the coolest part of this weekend?
No, I think just being in New York, being able to experience, like, this city just has a very unique culture in itself. Just being out here, being able to kind of enjoy that. Obviously, we kind of know all the guys by now from all the other games and camps in the summer. So it's cool to just, you kind of have built relationships with all these guys. So it's cool to just enjoy the culture of everything and just kind of enjoy the experience. Of, like, this is really, like, one of the last high school things, so.
Cod, how much for you?
Yeah, I was looking forward to just seeing some of the Duke guys and trying to get them, get to know them a little bit better before we head off to college and start here.
Has that been accomplished? Did you?
We're getting there, right, Coop?
Sounds good. Hey, thanks so much. Good luck tomorrow, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, Jeff, first of all, I like the fact that these guys kind of have, you could just feel that they have a competitive fire to them in everything that they do. And even throughout the course of the week, they were kind of, you kind of asked them, hey, are you guys getting to know your teammates? And Khan's like, yeah, everyone's, you know, we're learning everyone. And he's like, right, Cooper? And Cooper's like, yeah, I'm learning my teammates. And it was clear that it was like his teammates on Team Air, right? Like, and not necessarily the Duke guys all hanging out together. But give me your thoughts just talking to them in person, what it's like and what their kind of personalities are like as you learn about them.
Yeah, and Donald, I'm echoing something that you mentioned that I think is a great point. How many times in that interview did they both mention competitive as being like a key? And that's something that as Duke fans really excites all of us, because as much as we liked this last team, the one thing I think frustrated us in several instances, the North Carolina games, early against Arkansas and Georgia Tech, it seemed like they got kind of punched in the mouth and didn't have the fire that a lot of Duke teams have, except for I think Jared McCain was a dog all season. I think he had that head of fire. But the fact that they emphasize that, I mean, that's awesome for Duke fans. That's exactly what you want to hear. And it didn't look just like talk. Again, I mentioned how hardworking Flag was, how pumped up he was. You know, they put that into action on the court.
You know, I was thinking earlier when we were talking about Cooper Flag and the fact that he's a generational talent and people have been rightfully putting that label on him. It almost escapes everybody that he reclassified into this class, which is one of the, you know, arguably one of the greatest high school classes ever.
It is so ridiculous to think about that.
Yeah, so you think about that, right? And even not just him, but the five guys that you saw yesterday that are going to be wearing Duke Blue next year. The fact that in what is one of the greatest classes that have ever come out of high school, you have five guys that, in my mind, could be guys that stand out in this class. There was guys, they all had kind of moments in this game. Again, an all-star game where the best of the best are playing. Talk to me about that, and how does it, what was the air like in the gym when people kind of looked and said, man, you got five guys here and they're all going to the same school next year, even though they're in different teams tonight. How did that feel in the gym? Were a lot of people kind of talking about Cooper Flag, or was it, hey, this Duke class is going to be?
Yeah, Donald, that's a great point. And first of all, when you mentioned your first thing about how good the class was, it really is. And there was a certain intensity
amazing
toward the end with Dylan Harper and Cooper Flag. You know, Dylan Harper hit the game winner. He was sensational with 30 points. And when he ran off the floor, he was shouting like, "I'm number one!" Like he wanted to be the number one player in the class, and probably was.
He has lost his mind. He's a great player. He has lost his mind if he thinks he's number one.
To be fair, he probably was until Cooper Flag decided he was.
Exactly, he probably was, and he took that personally, which is, you want as a player, you want that quality. Even though, like Jason said, he's most definitely wrong, but he was great in that game. So there was that intensity, and yeah, they were very aware of the brotherhood thing. We mentioned the and one style of the public address guys kind of on the court. He kept saying, oh, now we got some brotherhood on brotherhood action. Like, it was very aware. And even during the practices, there were little things. You could see it. Like, there was one play where, Con Knipple was in, like, a shooting stance, like, ready to shoot. And then, like, Isaiah Evans came behind him and kind of gave him, like, a football tap on the butt or something. And then, Con looked over his shoulder, kind of like when somebody taps you on the shoulder as a trick to which way. There was a lot of that, but people, it was very evident, and the atmosphere was pretty electric, especially now that there's good attendance. Barclays Center is a fun vibe. It's a really cool stadium. You even had Mike Bibby was courtside. Carmelo Anthony was sitting next to Aaron Judge courtside on the baseline. Now they're both Jordan Brand athletes, but still, mm-hmm. that's some pretty cool people to have watching that. And people, especially with the Elam ending, were really getting into it. So it was an electric atmosphere, and people were definitely aware of what kind of how big an imprint Duke had on this game.
Most notably, the guy who had the biggest name at that show, Michael Jordan, was in Talladega yesterday instead of being there. So we'll say that maybe he's a racing guy now, not a basketball guy. But I do want to end with this. The last question I have is, we've talked about this class and how we have three guys that are really playing the same position or similarly at the same position. You have Darren Harris, Isaiah Evans, and Konka Knipple. Which of those three do you feel, again, based off of a weekend's experience with them, which of them do you feel is the most ready to compete at the next level right now?
You know, and first of all, Donald, you're exactly right. Like, that's the thing for Michael Jordan, this whole thing, it's your brand. Can't you at least, like, make a cameo appear? Like, I know he's a racing guy.
Come on, man. They did win Talladega, so I can't be right. That upset. But, you know, it is what it is.
As I was speaking to people, you know, I actually spoke to like the president of the Jordan brand and stuff. And, you know, they're like, oh yeah, he just couldn't make it. I'm like, geez, really? Just fly in, fly out on your private jet. Of those guys that I think we all expected Isaiah Evans of the three you mentioned to be the most right. I mean, that's what all kind of the rankings, all the descriptions have said, but from the little I saw though, I still put Evans as of those three. Konka Knipple is closer than we all thought. Like he does so many things, and again, all those intangibles. I think I'm sure Shire's gonna love him. I think his teammates are gonna love him. And again, I think Darren Harris is a little level below that. And again, he was great in the high school. He was great at the Chipotle Nationals. I don't want to put too much stock in 2 days of action, but I think he's a little bit more of a specialist. I think those other guys might be a little bit more versatile, whereas Harris is a dead-eye shooter, but I'm not sure those other you did mention the assist, Jason, but I think right now at this stage, maybe he's not quite as versatile as some of those, as the two other, those two other players.
Gotcha. Hey, Jeff, look, man, Jeff Fedotin, we really appreciate you giving us this inside scoop, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the little bit of sound you gave us from Con and Coop talking to each other and talking to you. It was great stuff, man. And anytime you want to come back on the DBR podcast, you are more than welcome, sir.
I'd love that. Anytime you guys want to have me, I'm a devoted listener. I'm a Duke fan, and you guys do such a great job. And you're so prolific, man. No rest for the weary.
We sleep it on Sundays, except when guys commit out of the portal. So
yeah, it has been busy. It's been very busy. All right, with that, we're going to wrap it up here in the latest edition of the Duke Basketball Roundup. For Donald Wine, for Jeff Fedotin, our guest star, for me, Jason Evans, and for Mason Gillis, the newest member of the Brotherhood. Welcome to the family, Mason. That is it. Here's the Duke band to play us out and take us home. You know, Donald, I forgot to mention that you were talking about what kind of a player Mason Gillis is. Mm-hmm. You called him a dog, and I went, Nate James. Oh my gosh. Like he reminds me a lot of Nate James. Well, it's impossible not to see that comparison.
You remember I think about 2001, but you can also say the same for 2010 and 2015. You had guys who just in 91 and 92, you had guys that we didn't necessarily call Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley dogs, right? But they had the same tendency that they just hated losing so much that they refused to do it, right? Yeah. That's the team you want. And it's funny, Jason, I just watching the game yesterday, they were talking a lot about how Cooper Flagg talks a lot in the court, and not like in a bad way, but he's like, yeah, he talks a little trash, But they're like, yo, he's such a great talent that he knows he's going to back it up, even in the Jordan Brand Classic. So like that, yeah. Again, it wasn't just him. It was a lot of guys. Like we'll talk about it on the show, but they had the Duke on Duke crime when in Gongba, Isaiah Evans passed to Ngongba, who got the and one on flag. And they were just kind of laughing about it. Right. Like, but again, it's like one of those things where these guys all, it looks like they're all getting to know each other well, but they also all are just had this like competitive chip on the shoulder. Like, hey, whatever, you know, whatever everyone thought about this year, that's not happening with us. And I think that's what we had. Like in 2015, those freshmen came in and all of them were like, I don't care. Like, oh, we lost to Mercer last year. Fine. That was last year. That's not happening this year. Not with us. And they kind of had that, like, we refuse to lose mentality. That's what I hope we have next year.
You know, I'm trying to think who was it? So I feel like every time Duke wins a national title, there is a guy on the team who is that sort of that badass. Because
yeah, Nate James.
Nate James. So 91 and 92, Brian mm-hmm. Davis. No question yes. about it. I'm trying to think who would it have been on 2010?
Thomas.
Lance Thomas. I was going to say to some mm-hmm. extent it was Kyle Singler. And yeah. 2015, I guess, is Emile Jefferson.
Yeah, Emile Jefferson. And you can even say Justice Winslow in a way. Like,
yeah.